Today's sermon text is from Romans 1, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. O glorious God who spoke. Father, you are holy, you are other and different than everything else, Father. In creation, there was nothing but you, and you spoke. Said, let there be light. I thank you, Father, for speaking. I thank you, Father, for speaking to Adam and Eve. I thank you, Father, for speaking to Abraham and Moses and David. I thank you, Father, for speaking through the prophets. And I thank you, Father, that your word became flesh in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the effectual call that spoke to me personally. That though I was dead in my trespasses and sins, you raised me up. Father, would your kingdom come through your word? Would your will be done through your word? Would you protect us from the evil one through your word? Would you keep us from temptation through your word? Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your word. In your name, Jesus, the name above every name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today, I think I'm the only one that knows this. Is Wife Appreciation Day. Raise your hand if you knew that. You get, yes. Raise your hand if you lie. I found that out. I forget how I found that out this morning. But you know what that means, kids. Since it's Wife Appreciation Day on Sunday, you know what that means. We're going to the next verse in Romans. That's what that means. Not that we don't ever focus on what might be going on around us, but our regular practice by faith is to teach the Word of God, working through it. That being said, I want to talk about how humans seem to have difficulty fitting ideas into our minds. We are prone to hear ideas that logically, reasonably go together and think, well, that's impossible, right? We tend to see something. We're going to talk about faith and obedience today, and we struggle with how certain things can be true at the same time. Right now, it's freedom or safety. Do we want to be free or do we want to be safe? And we feel like we got to spread out and say, well, I'd rather be free than safe, or safe than free, rather than thinking, how can freedom and safety work together, right? Because I'm one that says, freedom. I want to be free. Until my neighbor starts discharging his sewage up the hill from my house. And then I'm like, well, we need to regulate this freedom a little bit, right? So we have to constantly bring ideas that sound simple and great. And then when they start to bang against other ideas, try to see what God would see. Because God's mind isn't like my mind. God's mind isn't like your mind. God's ways are higher than our ways. as high as the heaven is from the earth, so is His ways different than our ways. That somehow He sees things that fit together, like holiness and happiness. A picture of this is a debate that someone could have whether a candle puts off light or does a candle put off heat. And you could get your heaters and your lighters and you could have a debate. But the simple fact is, a candle, a flame, puts off light and heat. You don't have to join the lighters. You don't have to join the heaters. You can fit this into your brain. It does both at the same time. Sometimes I need the flame for light. And that's more important to me at night, maybe, than heat, if it's June. But there's other times that I don't care if it's dark, I need the heat, like in January. And so we struggle with these things, especially doctrinally and theologically. Like, does God want to save humans from hell, or does He want the world to be a better place? And you see people getting these camps, and so you can have the camp of He wants the world to be a better place, and so they focus on the things they can do here on the world, in the world, like feeding, distributing the medicine, getting clean water. They focus on that because that's important. And then you have, well, what's more important than that is that they don't go to hell. And so we focus on that. We got to tell people about that. But both of those can go together. We can really focus on the eternal destination of humans. At the same time, we're truly and really concerned about whether they have water, food, and clothes. Those do not have to be opposed. It's not whether we should go to the nations with water or with the living water of Jesus Christ as gospel. We do both. We do not have to live in that. Now, where we go and when we go might dictate which one we need to be more clear on. So the question for today is, should we have faith in God or should we just obey God? And it's easy, according to our personalities, I think, or where we're at, to say, well, it's important that we trust God or it's important that we obey God. But God doesn't have a weak mind. And so I want to talk about this morning, what is faith, just simply, what is obedience, and then I want to talk about what is the obedience of faith. Think about that phrase for a bit before we get started. Paul says that he's been given grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Those sound like two different things in the Christian world. I hope today we see that they're not. So what is faith? We talk about this often. It's a bedrock of our Christianity because it is so important. Just simply put, it's believing in something, trusting in something, right? I believe these buttons will stay together and I have faith in it. That's why I have the shirt on, right? You believe those pews won't fall apart, so you're sitting on them, right? Hebrews 11, the famous definition in verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, so it's an assurance. It's a positively, it's an understanding that this can have no doubt of things that are yet hoped for, that are coming, that you don't have yet, but there's an assurance with it. Assurance and hope sounds like two different things. That's why faith brings them together. It's a hope of the future, but through faith, you can have assurance of it now. And the second part of the definition is, it's the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. That there is, we just sang about God on His throne. We sang about flaming creatures with eyeballs screaming, holy, holy, holy. And you think, where's the evidence for that, right? It takes a little bit of faith. Although you could say, well, the evidence is, look around. Look at creation. Where did the sun come from? Where did these trees come from? Where did the oceans come from? There's evidence of things that I can't see. That there's I see a creation. There must be a creator. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about saving faith. Faith that gets you to heaven. What is that? Because Romans 5:1 says we have been justified been made right legally with God by faith. So we're made right with God by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, it says. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. So this again, faith is saving us. Romans 4:3-5, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, had faith, trusted, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's it. He was given salvation. He was made righteous because he believed God. Saving faith is, when you look at the Ephesians 2:8 verse, that saving faith, being saved through faith, means that we are believing and trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That when he died on the cross, he was making a payment for our sins. That our sins, Peter says, was laid upon him. He bore them in his body on the tree. And that having faith in that means that I have an assurance of that hope. That when I think about my sins and I confess them, I have an assurance of where they are. On Calvary 2,000 years ago. In the grave 2,000 years ago. And they didn't come back out. It's believing and trusting that Jesus paid for our sins. So as Protestant Christians, we believe that we are saved by faith alone. Not by works. Not by what we do. Lest anybody should boast, Paul says, twice. Right? So saving faith is trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on his cross. That's what saves us. That type of faith. So I just want to set that to the side. That's the faith I'm talking about. Now I want to pull out obedience. What is obedience? Well, the root word there is obey. It's a verb, which means to comply with the commands, orders, and instructions of a superior or with the requirements of the law, moral, political, or municipal, to do that which is commanded or required, or to forbear doing that which is prohibited. Obey means doing what you're told. For there to be obedience, there has to be a command. There has to be a command. Even if that command is in our conscience, written on our hearts, we're obeying something. When we do something that we've never been told to do, but it's the right thing to do, Paul says in Romans that we're bearing witness that law is actually written on our hearts. We're obeying something. We're not dreaming up good things to do. God left that in fallen humanity to obey. So simply put, it's obeying. It's doing what you're told. But when we think about salvation through obedience, I would use the phrase works-based salvation. Works-based salvation. And that's the view that you're going to heaven because of what you do. I hope those of you that sit in here on a regular basis, like, well, who would ever believe that? Who would think such a thing, that you go to heaven because of what you do? But that's a very common view. Most of the religions around the world, your salvation in the afterlife is based upon how good you do this life, right? But this is the view that you're going to heaven because of what you do, or that you add what you do to what Jesus did on the cross. That's the default position of modern Christianity that gets it wrong. To say, I'm saved because I do right and the things I mess up on, Jesus covers. There's a lot of people who would describe their relationship to God and they're going to heaven that way. Well, God covers up the bad things I've done. But I have some good works and you add it all together and it's okay. There was a lady told a preacher one time, she said, salvation is kind of like a rowboat. It takes two oars to have a rowboat. If you only have one and you only row on one side, what's going to happen? You're going to go in a circle, right? So it takes two. She said, it's faith in the work of Jesus and your work. Now, his reply was very theological and detailed, but we'll see if we can understand it. Here's his reply. That's a great illustration, but we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. That's not our method for getting there. We're getting to heaven through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But here's our problem. For those of us that understand faith alone through grace alone, there's still plenty of scriptures in the Bible. We just finished up the Ten Commandments series. Right before that, this is God speaking to Moses in Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the children of Israel. Let me read this again. I'm going to add one word, and I don't think it's adding to the Bible. I think it's showing the implication that's clearly there. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, that's in there, my covenant, I would add, then you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples of the earth is mine. I think that's a proper translation of that. The key thing is there is that obey my voice is contingent upon being the people of God. Romans 6:16, when he's talking about, this is Paul talking about, what we do with our bodies, even when we're saved, he says, don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, so obedient slaves means there's a slave obeying a master, right? He says, whoever you're obedient to, you are the slaves of the one you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we see if you obey sin, you die. If you obey righteousness, you live and get salvation, tying obedience to salvation. And then, I hope I read this enough. Maybe I should read it more so that we're never confused. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. The people that do the wrong things don't get into the kingdom of God. The people that are disobedient don't get into the kingdom of God. So it's clear also in our scriptures that salvation has a lot to do with what we're obeying and who we're obeying. So which is it? Are we going to heaven because of obedience, or are we going to heaven because of our faith and faith alone? Which brings us to what in the world is this phrase, the obedience of faith? Because I've tried to lay these out to where they look opposed to one another, but now I want to hopefully show you that they go together perfectly. Obedience and faith. Let's look at the very first sin in the Bible, Adam and Eve eating the fruit, right? Let me ask you this. Were they not having faith, or were they disobedient? They were both, weren't they? They had been commanded by God, you may surely eat of all these other trees of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. They had been given that command, and they disobeyed it. But I would say, why did they disobey that command? Because they didn't believe that they were going to die. In fact, when the serpent tempts them, he tempts them to believe, have faith in something else, a different word, a different command. That when our parents, Adam and Eve, fell and ruined humanity, it was a lack of faith in that the Word of God was true and disobedience. They did not believe, trust, or have faith that what God had said was true. So There's obedience. Now, I'm going to lay two things out here. There's an obedience that leads to faith. It's the first thing I want to lay out. There's obedience that leads to faith. There's the gospel call that says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus went around preaching to repent, turn away from your sin, and believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about the gospel call is, believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus, right? That's a command that has to be obeyed. So anytime that we trust in Jesus and are saved, it's because we were given a command to trust in Jesus. We're being obedient to the gospel call. We used a phrase in our modern day of an invitation, right? An invitation is a gospel call that is obeyed. But one must hear the call. That's the grace in it, right? They must believe the call and obey the call. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? So you say, how are they going to call out if they haven't believed on him? But then he says, how will they believe on him if they have never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from obedience to the gospel call. Faith that God will save in Christ in the obedience to act. This doesn't conflict with grace at all because of the gospel call, right? So in a sense, there's a faith and it comes from obedience. You obey the gospel and you believe the gospel. All right, now I want to turn that around a little bit and look at an obedience that flows from faith. So the first part was you get faith from obeying. The next, I want to show that you get obedience from faith. I would call this the fruits of righteousness, right? Galatians 5:23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so forth, right? It's a fruit that's growing on a tree which has been saved by faith. And so this obedience to love, obedience to have joy, obedience to have peace is an outgrowth of your faith. Kindness, faithfulness, all these things are obedience. We're commanded to be kind. And yet it's also a fruit coming from it. Spurgeon says that obedience is the hallmark of faith. Meaning, how do you know someone has faith? How do you know someone believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they're obedient to Him. J.I. Packer says, what saves is faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. A changed life, obedience, always follows saving faith. Always, every time, every single time. The father of faith, Abraham, the Bible says in 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. So his faith led to his obedience. Okay, so faith and obedience go together. If you believe that Jesus is your hope in life and death, is your hope in life and death, you will obey everything he says. If you're convinced that your salvation is wrapped up in Jesus who died on the cross, rose again, you're going to do what Jesus says to do. If you don't, then that proves you don't believe that he actually saves that way. Let me say that again. If you believe that Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, is what saves you and your eternity is based upon that, you're going to do every single thing he says to do. And if you don't, it proves you don't believe it. I think that should scare us a little bit. Faith and obedience go together. When you separate them, you can separate them. And when you separate faith out and you keep obedience, you end up with a Pharisee that is convinced they're going to heaven because of what they do. We see it in the Bible. We see it in modern times. Easy. Or why are you going to heaven? Because I do this, this, and that. Sir, because I. And if you separate out obedience and you keep faith, you end up with these people that Jesus says, I never knew you. You didn't do what I said to do to the least of the brethren. We call it someone, you've heard me say, antinomian, this anti-law person that says, I can do anything I want. God's law means nothing. So if I covet, if I commit adultery, if I steal, kill, it doesn't matter. That's what happens when you try to separate these two. But you can't in reality. For true saving faith always has the fruit of obedience, and it's always come from the obedience to the gospel call. It's like trying to separate the light and the heat from the flame. You can't do it. Genuine salvation is like a flame that has faith and obedience in it. You cannot get them apart. When you do, you're not saved. You're not saved. So God is greater than our mind, and He doesn't see this tension. He sees us having it, right? So what should we do? What should we do in conclusion? We should, as the hymn writer says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. It doesn't go any other way but to do both. When God speaks, believe it. When God speaks, obey it. They go together. It's not trust or obey, it's trust and obey. So we hear the gospel call, the good news, and we obey it, and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe Jesus when He says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus says, come. That's the gospel call. So we need to obey that and believe. And come to Him. But we also need to realize that this faith leads to obedience, and that Jesus also said in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, obey all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here He's saying, go. When you're His disciple, He says, go. He says, come, Matthew 11, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then when He gets you, He says, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe, obey everything I've taught. So Jesus is doing both of these. Come and believe Me, go and obey Me. And the obedience is coming, and the obedience is going. You're coming because you believe, and you're going because you believe. Jesus says, come, and Jesus say, go. Both of these take faith, and both of them are commands. Now here, I'll try to hopefully bring it together. Why in the world this is so important? And I think some of you are probably thinking, I don't see it. Yep, this makes perfect sense. One reason it's important is because we need to understand, when we talk about faith alone all the time, that there's an obedience to believe. See, we use the word invitation. And we picture Jesus like someone trying to get a puppy to come. Come here, won't you come here and let me save you. The Bible portrays Jesus saying, come, Lazarus, come forth. It wasn't this woo. We hear this word wooing that's not in the Greek. Jesus commands people to repent and believe the gospel. It's an obedience of faith. Not that we just make up our mind someday. And if we get it wrong on the other side, which I think we're probably more tended towards, we'll just pump out a bunch of Pharisees who are good citizens. And we have to always be striking that balance in every song, every scripture, every sermon, striking the balance that we trust Jesus and we're going to obey Jesus. God cares where you spend eternity. God cares about whether you go to heaven or hell. God also cares how you spend today, what you do today. He's invested in that with His Holy Spirit inside of you. He cares about it. And in Him, in God, these aren't two things. These aren't separated. Well, do I want them to obey today or do I want them to make it to heaven? That goes together. It's light and heat. It's a flame of salvation. Because going to heaven has a lot to do with what we're doing today. They're not in opposition. And in fact, here's where I want to end. If you would, look in your Bibles. I didn't have this on the sheet to highlight, but look at verse 5 that we're focusing on today. Paul says, through whom, that's Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship. That God gave Paul grace, unearned favor and kindness, and appointed him to be an apostle, like we spoke of last week, with authority for what? To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. Do you realize God saved Paul on the Damascus Road? God appointed him to travel and preach the gospel to get people to trust and obey, for there's no other way. To bring about the obedience of faith. Romans ends in 16 saying that, let me show you something. Boy, I wish I'd put that in here. Look in the first chapter, verse 8. He gets into greeting. We'll do this here in a few weeks or so, or next week maybe. He said, I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Why? Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. He just praises God. He says, man, your faith, what you believe, is being proclaimed everywhere. Now let's go to the end of the Romans, chapter 16. Look at verse 19. So what we just read says, your faith is being proclaimed everywhere. Look at verse 19. For the report of your obedience has reached to everywhere, to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you. So he opens and he closes this book with, hey, everybody's talking about your faith, and ends with, everybody's talking about your obedience. Because Paul, in the obedience of faith, does not separate those two. You show me someone, this is going to be a big part of the middle of the book of Romans. You show me someone who doesn't have obedience, I'll show you someone that doesn't have faith. You show me someone that has real faith, I'll show you someone that has obedience. They always go together. They're never separated. And I'll really close with this. Can you find a moment in time where they're separated? Yes. You're going to find people who have true saving faith and they disobey here and there. But as Paul Washer taught us, I'm not talking about a Polaroid in somebody's life where you could say, see, they weren't obedient. I'm talking about a video of it. And if you take a video of a life of faith, you're going to see a video of a life of obedience. We're going to learn in Romans 7, that's hard to do. Where Paul says, Man, I don't do things I want to do. And I do the things I think are wrong. You're going to see that in Polaroids. But man, when you watch the video, it's beautiful. It's beautiful what God does through obedience of faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for bedrock truths like trusting in Jesus and obeying Jesus. Father, I thank you that you make these truths simple to hear Jesus say, come, and to hear Jesus say, go. Come and believe and trust in me and go and obey what I tell you to do. Father, would you protect us from the evil one? And Father, those of us that are bent towards thinking we have to do, would you build up our knowledge and our understanding and our wisdom in believe. And Father, those of us that are heavy on the believe, would you bring up our wisdom and understanding and knowledge of do. Oh, Father, we do not want to be found at Fellowship Baptist Church coming up short in the obedience of faith. Father, but it takes a miracle from you to do this. So we ask for it, and yet we confess it is simple. It is simple to trust and obey Jesus. Would you do a work in his name? Amen.